Hey everybody, welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. We're so glad that you could join us today. We believe that your story matters. With this message, we're hoping and praying that you are encouraged, uplifted, and that you grow in the Lord. If you want to know more about us, please check out our website at newhope4square.org or follow us on Facebook. Enjoy this message from this past Sunday morning gathering.
All right, I want you to capture a picture in your mind. And you can close your eyes to do this, or you can look up here. Capture a picture in your mind. Three men up on a famous hill together, each one hanging on a cross. Jesus is hanging on the center cross, the scriptures tell us. Interesting that we're going to look at each of the four Gospels this morning, and the Gospels seem to think it was important, Holy Spirit meaning, seem to think it was important, that they mentioned how they were all postured. And we'll get into that in just a minute. He's flanked by two criminals. Hatred, mocking, spitting, yelling, and insults are abundant. Jesus, of course, is on the receiving end of all of these evil and violent expressions. You know, food poisoning is violent, but it isn't anything close to this. And yet, while he is suffering so greatly, I want you to put yourself in those shoes. While you're suffering so greatly, you have people yelling and screaming at you while you are violently suffering. It's bad enough that you're suffering, but to have people yelling at you, hurl insults, mocking you. I mean, it's the opposite of encouragement. It's the opposite of, hey, you did a great job. It's the opposite of saying, Jesus, thank you for being willing to lose everything. You left your kingdom and came here, became one of us. And instead of there being weeping and worship, there was mocking, insults, spitting, hatred. The other thing that I found fascinating is I freshly discovered this week in studying that the traveling was happening right by. I mean, we often think that this was a closed stage at the cross, but the Gospels made an emphasis to show that people were walking by, and as they were walking by, they were hurling insults and mockery at him. That was fresh for me to see. Here's the worst part to me. These insults, this mocking, this hatred, wasn't just coming from the people that were on the ground looking up at Jesus. They were also coming from the two men that were dying on the crosses with him. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19, verse 18. I'm sorry I don't have more slides. I spent my time trying to get here this morning instead. So, John 19, 18, I'll be reading it from the New Living Translation, and it says this: there they crucified him, and with him two men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Interesting that it's only one sentence that the author of the book of John brings out. He only makes one sentence mention of it. But in that one mention, he says specifically that they were on either side of him and Jesus was between them. So as we hear about these insults being hurled, they're happening on both sides of him, not just up there with him. So not only is he getting the insults from down below, he's getting the insults from either side. And notice that it says very clearly that they were on either side of him. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll start reading in verse 35. In verse 35 of Matthew 27, after they had nailed him to the cross, say that with me, after they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Now slip with me down to verse 38. Two revolutionaries, were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. So these men were being killed. They were being sentenced to death for some kind of revolutionary acts. It's not described to us beyond that. We can look historically as to what that might brought about. It could have been crimes against the state. Could have been crimes against, they could have said something to Caesar. They could have been having private meetings with zealots to think about how to overthrow the Roman government. It would create a lot of speculation. But they were revolutionaries. And they were apparently known for it enough that now here they are in this state. And they're now being crucified for their crimes. And then look with me. And down in verse 44, same chapter, Matthew 27. Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. We mostly only know Luke's account, but we don't pay attention to the fact that in Matthew here it tells us that they both did so. Now go with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 31. The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. These are supposed to be the ones that know all the prophecies, right? They're the ones that are supposed to know all the First Testament prophecies. These are the group of people that more than anyone on planet Earth should have known that this was the Messiah. If for no other reason than they see somebody that is sick and hurting and dying and they get healed, that alone should make them take pause. Hey, wait a minute. Every time this guy gets around people, somebody gets better, not worse. What crime is he committing? But they were interested only in one thing, their power and their rules and the combination of those two. They didn't care about people getting better. Can you imagine? Your mom is in the room and she's sick and dying, and Jesus walks in and heals her, and you're ecstatic. And the religious leaders are coming in and they're saying, we got to find a way to kill this guy. What's your response to that? Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? He's helping people. He's healing people. He's freeing them from demonic oppression. He's helping them recover from all kinds of sickness and disease. He's giving them the ultimate versions of inspiration and hope. And you guys are only thinking about killing him. And so it says, the leading priests and teachers of the religious law also mocked Jesus. And they said this to him, he saved others. They scoffed, ha, ha, ha. But he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we can see it and believe him. And then it says next, even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. What we don't know was what caused the change. But here's what we do know. We do know that at some point, one of these two men had a serious change of heart. While he was facing death, and while he was flanked on one side of Jesus, what was going on in this man's soul, in this man's mind, while he was watching Jesus handle, if we could even call it that, all of these insults while he's bleeding to death, while he's suffering, while he's hemorrhaging, and people are mocking him and spitting insults at him. Can you imagine your response would be if somebody came into the hospital room of one of your family members and while they were sick in the hospital hemorrhaging and people were coming in and spitting on them and yelling and cursing them, what your response would be? So imagine the father's response to all this. And somewhere in the middle of this, one of these two guys, what an interesting conversation that will be to have in heaven. Think about what it's going to be like to go ask that guy, what changed? And when did it change? Was it something that he didn't say? Or was it a private conversation that nobody even has record of something that he said? Or maybe somebody down here told a story about something and something shifted. But for one of these two men, he went from being a co-conspirer to ridicule and scorn of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever moved from a place in your life where you used to ridicule Jesus and now you're one of his followers? I think this guy's an inspiration for us. How many times, even in your own life, do you find yourself just with your own attitude or something, you find yourself maybe just being a little bit snotty to the Lord? That couldn't happen to anybody here at New Hope. I'm talking about people at another church down the street. But we can move in our heart from a place where instead of being incredibly grateful to the Lord, and as Paul said, considering it a privilege to suffer for and with Christ, Paul said. He said, Paul said, we can't just thank God for the benefits that he gives us and then say, but I don't want to participate in your suffering. This morning, we participated in Jesus' suffering. Hopefully, it didn't hurt when you drank the juice in the cup this morning, or the cup and the bread this morning. But you just participated in his suffering. You participated in this story right here. His suffering. And Paul says, we can't just want heaven. We can't just want healing here on this earth. We can't just want his favor here without participating in his suffering. And one of these guys went from suffering and being an insulter to being a sufferer, and then all of a sudden saying, wait a minute. Is it okay, even right now, right here, right on my deathbed, is it okay that I change direction? Folks, this is one of the most important connections between heaven and earth for us as human beings, for you and I to give away to people in our community that don't yet know Jesus. Jesus told a story at one point when he said that it was a man who owned a field and he hired people at the beginning of the day. And he gave them a certain wage agreement, and they agreed to that wage. And then there were other people that came in at the last hour of the day, and he paid them the same wages. And then the workers who'd been there all day complained. Wait a minute, we've been serving you all day, meaning much longer. And these guys come in at the last second, so to speak, and they're going to get the same benefits that we are? And the master of the field said, it's my money, number one, and number two, you agreed to it. What I would say is what Jesus was communicating, something that they didn't even come close to getting at the time that you and I can now, is that what he is preparing for us in this new heaven and new earth is so amazing, nobody is going to complain about what they get. Nobody is going to complain. We want to pray that we have encounters with people that are on their last hour, that all of a sudden recognize and realize, wait a minute, maybe there really is something to Jesus. Maybe I want to move from being one who mocks him and ridicules his name to being someone who says, Jesus, just I'm asking one thing of you, and here's the part that fascinates me. We'll get to it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. We're still in Mark. Okay, now go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 39. Luke 23, starting in verse 39. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself. And us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? And then he owns his own sin. This is the first step. Whether you're talking 12-step program or whether you're talking about straight, I want to repent and get to know Jesus and make him my Lord. Same process. The first thing you have to do is you have to own your own junk. Here's what the man says. We deserve to die for our crimes. He admits it. I'm guilty. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I want you to see the imagery here that you and I can all relate to. of the sensitivity and the mercy, not just the magnitude, but the intimacy of Jesus' forgiveness to you and I, of his tender love to you and I. Notice what this man asks for and what he doesn't ask for. All he asks is that he just not be forgotten. Aren't there times in your and my life where we just feel like we're so insignificant that we just ask ourselves, does anybody, if I died right now, would it even matter? Would anybody remember me? Would it take 2 seconds before everybody just moved on with their life? What he's also asking himself is that, have I done anything that would cause anyone to feel like I left some positive footprints in my lifetime? And so he just says to Jesus, would you just remember me? Would you please tell me that I won't just simply be forgotten like I never existed? And our Savior instead offers him so much more than that. So much more than that. Jesus had way more for him than just telling him he won't be forgotten. So Jesus replied, I assure you, you can bank on it. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Can you say that with me? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Lord, we pray for people all over our circles of influence in our community that we will get the opportunity to pray with people and help them say, and we can get to say to them, because we can trust Jesus, right? That we would get to say to them, surrender your life to Christ right now. Own your stuff and repent. Acknowledge that he's the king of a kingdom that is beyond your imagination. And then say to him, remember me. And then we're able to tell him he's going to do way more than remember you. We're able to look somebody in the eye and say, you not only will not be forgotten, today you'll be with Jesus in paradise. Soak that in for a minute, folks. This is what we're fighting for. This is why we get up and contend every day. This is why we put up with the crap from this life and not lose heart. The scriptures tell us that in the last days, the love of many are going to wax cold, meaning there are people that have gotten offended with the church, offended with a friend, offended with a pastor, offended over a church building, or what songs they sang, or whatever it might be. Or other times, it might be really serious where somebody suffered abuse. But if we are not careful, we could find ourselves in the last days where we will just simply get hardened by this life instead of keeping our eyes on the next life. We have a home that is amazing and glorious. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. I love what Tim said this morning. Imagine being able to explore some caves, and if there's no sorrow and no tears, apparently we're not going to die while we're doing it. You know, I'm sure Jesus is still going to say, okay, now, I didn't ask you to take out common sense and insert stupidity, Worley. You know, don't dive off just so you, hey, you know, I'm not going to die. Jesus will be even tempted with that, remember, with the devil. And the devil told him, jump off this and you won't die. And Jesus basically said, you're stupid. I mean, that's really what his response was. I want you to hear a quote from Randy Alcorn. He says, I'm going to read one more scripture to you before we go to that. So you see where it says, I assure you today you'll be with me in paradise. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Now notice those words in verse 43. Of Luke were Jesus' words, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now we're going to look at another passage where it's also in red letters, Diana. Also Jesus talking, and this is in the book of Revelation. And Jesus says this, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit. Can I say that and just speak that over us for 2020 and beyond. And would you just maybe take your hand and put it on your whole heart, on your own heart as I speak to you, speak it over you? Jesus, help us listen to your Holy Spirit. Jesus, help us listen to your Holy Spirit. Jesus, help us listen to your Holy Spirit. Jesus, help me listen to your Holy Spirit. That's the first part. Jesus, help me listen to your Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says, and understand what he is saying to the churches. We are the church, not the buildings. So you can put your name in there. You can put your name right in there. Jesus, help me listen to the Holy Spirit and understand what you were saying to me. To understand what you're saying to New Hope in these days, in these hours. That you will help us listen to the Holy Spirit and understand what you are saying to us during these days. That's the counterpart to us worrying about who's going to be president. About what laws in California are going to get passed or eliminated. What freedoms will come and go. What goes way beyond that is for you and I to listen to the Holy Spirit and ask Jesus to help through the Holy Spirit to understand what he is saying to the church during these days. I want you to know these churches were in persecution. They were suffering. They were dealing with all kinds of difficulties. And to them, they were the last days for these people. And Jesus is telling them, here's the solution. Here's the antidote to being caught up and lost in all the worry of life, all the tragedy, all the politics, and the violence. Here's the antidote, Jesus says. Listen to the Holy Spirit and ask him to help you understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, the church, in these days. And then, here's the result. To everyone who is victorious, meaning everybody who follows those instructions, I will give fruit from the trees of life in the paradise of God. I got a quote here for you from Randy Elkhorn. He says, most views of heaven are anti-incarnational, meaning that when we think of heaven, we're only thinking of us going to God. And he says, that means we don't get the concept of heaven at all. We don't get the concept of heaven if we think that. God came to us. When Jesus was on that cross, he didn't need to be there. He didn't need to be in a position where we'd have a man tell him, just please don't forget about me when you get to your kingdom. Jesus chose to be there. They didn't put him on that cross, and yes, he could have gotten down. He even said at one point, he could have called on legions of angels. I think at one point he said 20 that could have come and helped him. They didn't put him there. He chose to be there. Heaven is God coming to us to tell us, I never wanted us to be separated. I never wanted the relationship between earth and God to be broken. I never wanted there to be a curse on the earth. I didn't want any of that. I found this week, reading some passages in Revelation, where even when the bad guys are released to go do harm to human beings all around the earth, I found something I'd never seen before. In several of those locations, it says, but they were told, you are not to harm the earth, the plants, or the trees. Meaning, once again, the Lord was saying, earth is mine. I created it, and I called it very good. When things change, I'll do the changing. But hell doesn't take over the deed of ownership for the earth. Very fascinating. Look at this. One of the scriptures that we pray all the time when Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. Pray that with me. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come to Manteca. May your kingdom come to Ripon. May your king come to Lathrop. May your kingdom come to Escalon. May your kingdom come to Oakdale. May your kingdom come to Lodi. May your kingdom come to Stockton, to Lodi. Pray all around us. And I'm not talking about, you know, we don't want it for anybody else. I'm saying these are our circles of influence. If we're the church that needs to listen to the Holy Spirit and understand what he's saying to us, we're doing that for ourselves and for the people that within our circle of influence. Now, I don't discount the fact that we have global reach nowadays. I don't discount that. But there's still something different that's missed if you can't rub shoulders and you can't cry and weep and laugh together on a regular basis. Pray like this, Jesus said. Our Father, the Father in heaven, may your kingdom come. Our Father in heaven, may your kingdom come. I love this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God has now revealed to us the mysterious plan regarding Christ. I plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Now I want you to just close your eyes and I want you to listen to this last song. And Tim, if you want to come back up with your worship team, and if Kevin, if you have any words to add to this, I want you to just close your eyes and I want you to listen to the scriptures, but I want you to be able to find the context so you can read it yourself later. Go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And this is John's witnessing. This is his witnessed account of what he sees happening. After this, if you wonder whether or not there's going to be any prejudice in heaven, listen to this. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too many to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed in white robes. And I want you to know this year for Palm Sunday, we're going to go all out. And they held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a mighty shout, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. And they sang, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Tim, the second song that we sang today, even though it's an oldie but goodie, that song has just got so much meat to it. In relation to this, and if we keep singing, then I'm sure you have another one there that you had ready, so we can go to that one too. Remind me.
Do you mean Build My Life? Or?
Yeah, which one is that?
Worthy of every song.
Well, Build My Life was number one. Here Again.
Oh, you like Here Again?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that one.
Would you stand with me? And I want you to... This might sound silly to you if you're not a spiritual person that understands spiritual connection to physical responses. But you will understand this. You will understand symbolism. If you follow a sports team, for example, you know that mascot isn't real. But it's a symbol of something. I want you to know that sometimes just moving your feet, getting on your knees, coming up here up front, just simply because, not because it's more holy up here, it's certainly not because I'm up here. Ask my wife and kids, they'll tell you that. But there's something about movement. There's something about expression to respond to God. So I'm going to ask you to do two things this morning as our focus. One, I want you to ask the Lord to continue to increase your passion for heaven. Not till you hurry up and get there. Let God be in control of the number of our days. We're supposed to take care of business while we're here. But I mean, your passion for heaven will increase your overwhelming desire to give it away. Rather than us feel guilty about what we don't say at the right time to the right person, how about we do this instead? How about we just ask Jesus to make us more and more passionate about heaven and see what would happen with that approach for a while? American churches have tried the other approach for generations. How about we just get more in love with heaven and the God of it and the power to bring healing to you now? Jesus is still reaching out to you while you're hurting right next to him right now. And he's still willing to have the same conversation with you, not just about ultimate paradise, but about him stepping in the middle of your pain and your hurt right now. Let's worship him and sing this song.